Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Cigarettes All Over Again, Post Decision Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 31st, 2009, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Philip Morris v. Williams. The Oregon Supreme Court, on remand from the U.S. Supreme Court's 2007 decision on the constitutionality of a $79.5 million punitive damages award based on harms done to unnamed plaintiffs, asserted a state law procedural bar which had the effect of preventing Philip Morris from asserting a constitutional claim. The issue for the U.S. Supreme Court was whether the Oregon Supreme Court improperly asserted the state law procedural bar. The U.S. Supreme Court, however, dismissed the case because it found that cert had been improvidently granted. To discuss the case, we have the founder and president of the Center for Class Action Fairness, Ted Frank. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Frank.
This is Ted Frank speaking on the Philip Morris versus Williams case decided in March of 2009. Jesse Williams started smoking as a 21-year-old soldier in Korea in 1950. Though Williams was taught as a child that it was unhealthy to smoke, and in turn taught his children not to smoke, he refused entreaties from doctors and family to quit smoking. After 45 years of smoking two packs a day, with the packs carrying the Surgeon General's warnings for nearly 30 of those years, Williams died of inoperable lung cancer. His widow sued Philip Morris for damages on grounds of product design and, quote, fraud. Mrs. Williams based her fraud claim on 14 statements Philip Morris had made about the link between cancer and smoking over the course of her husband's life. Though there is no evidence that he had ever seen any of the statements the lawyers alleged were fraudulent, in fact, seven of the statements never even appeared in the popular media. Nevertheless, the jury found Williams only 50% responsible for his own smoking and awarded over $821,000 in compensatory damages. Williams' attorneys asked for punitive damages, too, not just for their clients, but on behalf of all Oregon smokers. The jury went on to award an uncapped $79.5 million in punitive damages against Philip Morris for the alleged fraud, 97 times the compensatory damages, something that outstripped the implicit single-digit ratio the Supreme Court had previously used in its punitive damages cases. The case has been before the court three times. The first time, the court remanded the decision for consideration of the Campbell case, State Farm v. Campbell, one of the more recent punitive damages decisions. The Oregon Supreme Court affirmed the judgments on grounds that there is no bar to, quote, using punitive damages to punish a defendant for harm to non-parties, unquote. So the Supreme Court accepted cert for a second time in 2006, this time hearing arguments. When Williams was first argued in 2006, the court decided it on narrow grounds. The result was somewhat anticlimactic. The respondents tactically chose not to ask the Supreme Court to revisit BMW versus Gore or State Farm versus Campbell's, quote, grossly excessive standard, and the court avoided the question. The Supreme Court did reverse and remand for further consideration on a narrow ground, while it was permissible to consider actual or potential harm suffered by others in determining the, quote, reprehensibility of conduct. It was impermissible to punish defendant for such harm, very much a split hairs kind of decision. So it went back to the Oregon Supreme Court for a third time, and the Oregon Supreme Court reaffirmed the decision, saying that Philip Morris waived their objections to the jury instructions under state procedural law because they submitted jury instructions that were not, quote, clear and correct in all respects, the Oregon standard for review. The Supreme Court granted cert a third time. At oral argument, the justices debated between whether the Oregon Supreme Court had ignored the court's earlier ruling or whether this question of state procedural law was unreviewable. And, in fact, in March, the court issued a one-sentence ruling dismissing the writ of certiorari as improvidently granted. So where are we on this? In two previous landmark cases, BMW versus Gore and Campbell versus State Farm, the Supreme Court elucidated a constitutional limits of punitive damages awards, holding generally punitive damages should not exceed compensatory damages by a ratio of more than 9-1. These were controversial 5-4 and 6-3 decisions with conservative and liberal members of the court on both sides of the decision, Scalia and Thomas and Ginsburg dissenting in the 6-3 decision. So, as you can tell, three of the Campbell majority votes, Chief Justice William Rehnquist, Sandra Day O'Connor, and David Souter, are no longer on the court. So it's unclear whether there are still five votes in support of the Gore and Campbell idea that the Constitution by itself, or the Due Process Clause at least, creates a constraint on the punitive damages juries can award, with Oregon showing the way on how to get the Supreme Court to ignore a punitive damages decision it might be some time before we know for sure where we stand on the Gore and Campbell cases. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.